Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. It appears the clock is about to finally run out on the historic Forwood School. After years of slowly crumbling, the building, a landmark in Central Brandywine Hundred since 1799, will soon come completely down before being resurrected in a slightly different form. Contributor Larry Nagengast first looked into the condition and ultimate fate of the Forwood School back in August 2016. And since then, if you looked at it as you drove by on Silverside Road, you might be tempted to say little or nothing has changed. But in his update on the property available right now at DelawarePublic.org, Larry tells us more about the building's final act and what comes next. I sat down with him earlier this week to discuss what he learned. Let's backtrack a bit first and remind us a little bit about the Forwood School's history and significance.
Okay, well, the school was built in 1799 by members of the Forwood family. Originally, it was a one-room schoolhouse, about 20 feet by 22 feet. Then it was expanded in 1845 to its current size, 40 by 22 feet. Now, I recently came across an 1848 map of Newcastle County that showed there were 9 public schools in Brandywine Hundred at the time. The Forwood School served essentially Central Brandywine Hundred, the most recognizable zone boundaries for the district that served are Shellpot Creek on the south and west and what is now Grub Road or Harvey Road on the north. The Forwood School remained in operation as a school until 1939, which made it the longest serving public school in Delaware.
And despite that history, it was essentially allowed to just disintegrate. What happened there?
Well, in the 1940s, the building was converted into a residential property. Members of the Forwood family lived in it or rented it out until the 1990s. The Forwoods made promises to the community that they would keep the building in good shape, but eventually it did fall into disrepair, and it became what might best be described as a nuisance property. It's really a classic example of what historic preservationists call demolition by neglect, which means that property owners let a building deteriorate so badly that it becomes cost prohibitive to restore it, and then a developer finds a more profitable way to use the real estate. Essentially, that's what happened here, and 4 years ago, local developer Joe Setting purchased the 11-plus-acre site from the Forwood heirs. Now, that's a nice-sized piece of property in well-developed Brandywine Hundred, and Setting put together a plan to build some townhouses and some retail shops on the land.
Were there any attempts made to preserve it? Were there any other options for this building other than for it to just disintegrate?
Well, despite its history, the building was never designated as a historic site. And so as a result, the Historic Review Board, which is part of Newcastle County government, was powerless to issue any orders that could have stopped a demolition. Now, James Hanby, who is a member of two of Brandywine Hundred's best-known families, the Forwoods and the Hanbys, explored some other possibilities. And Hanby, years ago, was involved with moving the old Brandywine Grange off Concord Pike to a place just to the east of the pike, so that was able to be preserved. So anyhow, one of the things that he looked at was possibly moving the old school to the grounds of the current Forwood Elementary School, which is about a half a mile away. But the building's condition is really too far gone for any move to be possible. As Hanby puts it, it's custom, not mortar, that's holding the stones together.
And as you've noted, that the property's already in the process of being developed. What's going on with that development? So where are we in that process with what's going to be on that site?
Okay. Well, in February, the County Council approved a rezoning for the site. So the next step is to have a final approval of the actual site plan. Now, what's going on there can't be stated precisely. Setting gave the county a plan 2 years ago that called for 38 townhouses and spots for a bank, a drugstore, a cafe, a couple other shops, and a dog park. He told me this week that there are probably going to be some revisions to that plan, but he said they're not going to be really great. So there may be some tweaks, some fine tuning. There are other issues there that they've got to resolve as well, lining up the entrance to this new development community with the entrance on across the street to the Branmar Plaza Shopping Center. So, I mean, there's some other traffic and road work concerns to be dealt with as well.
And there will be a new version of the Forwood School as part of this new development. Can you tell us a little bit about the plan for that?
Yeah, and that's really the neat thing about what's going on here. Setting tells me that he has hired a masonry contractor who has some expertise in historic structures. This particular contractor did the masonry work for the Enchanted Woods Children's Garden at Winterthur. The contractor is going to dismantle the old school, take it down stone by stone, salvage what he can, and use those materials to build a replica of how the school looked in 1799. So it'll be back to the original size, roughly 20 by 22 feet.
And there will be an attempt as part of this new building to tell some of the old school's history, correct?
Yes, there will. The plan calls for plaques, other sorts of interior signage to tell the story of the school and of the surrounding Brandywine 100 community. Setting Properties will maintain the replica and will open it to the public several times a year and will make it available for tours and visits by school groups.
So what's the timetable for this new school building getting done? I assume it's going to lag behind, I guess, the actual development of the other things you mentioned, the residential stuff, the retail stuff.
Well, actually, it's the other way around. They're going to try to do the building first, the replica first, because Joe Setting would like to use that replica building as the construction and leasing office as the rest of the project moves forward while the townhouses and the stores are being built. Now, if all goes well, he'd like to see the replica completed by the end of the year, and it would have the original 1799 date stone placed in the archway over the front door. However, any sort of an opening ceremony, whatever, to mark the completion of the replica is probably going to have to be delayed until next year, because he wants to make sure that there's sufficient work done on the ground so that there's some paving there, you can drive cars onto the property and so on for any sort of ceremony like that.
But this is a real effort to kind of preserve the history as best as possible, considering the circumstances.
Yeah, most definitely. They're trying to save this piece of history. It's a tough situation. Any time you see a historic structure that falls into disrepair, so they're really making the best of what is an unfortunate situation.
The thing that amazes me is that, because I drive by this building all the time, it's not very far from where I live, this building is still standing after all this time and neglect, even through things like this past winter's storms, which were pretty rough on buildings that are a lot younger than that one. Are any of the people who are involved in this kind of surprised that this building has somehow managed to kind of like stay standing as long as it has?
Well, if you ask a preservationist like James Hanby, he'll tell you, that 2 centuries ago, they made buildings and they built them to last. And that's pretty much what has happened here. I mean, the roof is shot. That's pretty much all covered with tarps right now. And a lot of the wooden framework is in pretty bad shape. But the stones, whether it's custom or whether there is still a little bit of mortar left, yeah, they are still holding together for the most part. Yeah, there are some holes here and there, but yeah, they're hanging on. And given what they endured with all those nor'easters in March, Hanby's not expecting anything to cause them to fall down anytime soon.
And we do have some pictures that you took recently of the building on our website, so if people are interested in seeing just how the building looks right now, even in its deteriorated form, it's a great opportunity for you to do that. The one thing I did want to finish on with, Larry, is that the tenor of your piece really seemed like one of kind of a disappointment, regret that this was allowed to happen. Is there anything to be learned from this? And if so, does anyone seem to be inclined to prevent a repeat of this type of situation elsewhere?
Well, as I indicated, James Hanby is upset, that his ancestors, the Forwoods, were largely responsible for the building's deterioration. On the other hand, he's pleased that the replica will give his descendants something to look forward, look at generations from now and say they played a part in the area's history. That being said, you can make a case that our state, our county, local governments haven't always moved aggressively to ensure the preservation of privately owned historic structures. And this is particularly true if the owners of properties, for whatever reason, never got around to requesting that the government agencies formally declare a historic site as a historic structure. If that's not done, that does limit government options. So, you know, and then, you know, there are certainly situations where property owners run into problems that make it difficult to maintain a historic site. You know, people do occasionally come into financial difficulties from time to time. You know, and that's it's really another story for another time, trying to figure out what the better way is to do it. You know, so, you know, for now, all we can do with the Forward School is wait and watch. And, you know, watch as the old building comes down, watch as the smaller replica rises, and reminds us of the proud education tradition in Brandywine 100.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time this week. Again, his piece on the Forward School's final days is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We'll hear more about a bill before Congress focused on the opioid crisis and how it could impact Delaware. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.